I'm asking the Lord to bless this portion of His Word today, that He would solemnize our hearts. Life gets pretty busy, activities press upon us. Time has a way of getting away from us, and we don't even realize it. In the last 7-8 days, three souls, there's been more, I know, that have gone out into eternity. It made me think about our existence here. Time and how short that it is. So I'd like for us to kind of reflect upon life a little bit. Consider what the Word of God says. Consider what our duties and responsibilities are to our souls, to God. I'd like for us to turn to the 90th chapter of the book of Psalms. It's probably familiar to most of us, or maybe all of us. This particular psalm is attributed to Moses. Some say that this is the only psalm that he wrote in the book. But it was written, they say, at the end of the 40 years of the wandering in the wilderness. I want us to consider that. Moses, in this particular chapter that he has written, for our edification, first begins or describes the eternality of God, that how God is eternal and forever, and then he speaks of the brevity of man and how brief that man's life here is in this earth. So let's begin reading a little bit. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they're like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, thou our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Moses covers a lot of territory here in his little writing. But I want to try to point out a few things to get us to consider our own lives and our own ways. I want to talk about establishing priorities. Establishing priorities in your life. Maybe some of us might need to do that literally. We might need to make a list of the things that are really important to us. The things that are of real or really truly great value to us compared to the things that we put value on that really is not really beneficial to our long haul. I want us to consider this morning that we need to consider our ways and we need to have priorities in place that when trials come, when troubles come, when difficulties from whatever aspect comes into our life, that there will be certain things that will be important to us or more important than other things. I think about how important Daniel's prayer life was whenever he was going to be put into the lion's den and he knew that that was going to be the consequence. He still went up and he prayed, didn't he? That was his priority. It was God. It was his relationship with God. And it stayed in place. And his integrity stayed in place with God, even under pressure. Even whenever the temptation came, when the trial came, when the real test came in Daniel's life, he went up and prayed because he had a prayer life. The writer here speaks about our earthly existence is but a vapor. And he talks about the days of our years being 80 years. You know, I'm just a few months away from that. So it makes me realize more and more my mortality and how life passes by so quickly. Seems like I can remember just not all that long ago, I was a young man and had my strength and was raising a family and establishing the home and those kind of things. Just, it hadn't been that long ago. Life goes by so fast and life goes by so quickly. But here we are now. Every one of us now. And I think about our young folks. And they've already heard me say how valuable and how important that they really are, especially to the church. They're important and they're valuable to us. But young folks, even though you're young today, I want to tell you, you better establish some priorities in your life because life is going to be fleeting at best. And we don't any of us know how much time that we have here on this earth. He said 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. 1,000 years, Peter said, is as one day with God. Time doesn't really matter to God. God lives in eternity. He doesn't live in time. You and I deal with time. But according to God's recognition of time, 1,000 years is as one day. And it says a watch in the night. You know what that is? 3 hours. 3 hours, a watch in the night. These things, God looks down upon you and I and he remembers that we're but dust, the scripture says. And we're as grass, it says. We grow up today and then we're cut down and then we wither away. Folks, anything that's separated from God, this world that we live in today, the way people are living today, we're living in a cut flower world, aren't we? People take the flowers out of their little garden, they bring them in the house, and they put them in water. They don't last long in water because they've been cut off from the source. They've been cut off from the life source. They last a little while. That's you and I. With this cut flower world that we live in, people have cut themselves off from God. People are taking their own way, doing their own thing. God's not a priority in their life anymore. And they're dying and they don't know it. They don't seem to realize that time is marching along. Time is moving along and soon they'll find themselves. I remember while I was in Louisiana last week and sister came up to me. She said, "Brother Larry, the scripture over in Ecclesiastes is becoming very real to me today." It was an older sister. She said, "Where it says the grasshoppers would be a burden unto them." Folks, I've become to realize life is not easy as it once was when I was young. Body doesn't bend like it once did, doesn't work like it once did. And I realize those kind of things change, and the smallest things sometimes can become a real burden to us. 1,000 years, just one day in God's time, or as a watch in the night, which is 3 hours. You're not going to consider these kind of things probably while you're out on the job, while you're out going your shopping or taking care of your home. But folks, today, I want us to consider where we are along life's way and get some priorities in place that will stand by us when we go through the hard and difficult times of this life, because we're going to do it. Man's earthly existence, he said, is but a vapor. It's but a vapor. Moses telling us these things, and I want us to consider, Moses witnessed. He saw an entire generation of people perish in the wilderness. He saw an entire generation perish. God was so angry with them that he said anyone above 20 years of age and older, that they was not going to the promised land, and they wandered around. Folks, I want you to always have a fear of God upon your heart. We're dealing with God. He can do what he wants. He says what he's going to do, and he's going to do it. His word is established, folks. It's established. Man cannot change it. We may go our careless ways. We may do our careless things, but we cannot change God's word. And his word won't return unto him void, will it? But it will accomplish that in which he pleases it to accomplish. The wilderness experience must have been quite a thing to come out of Egypt and go through the Red Sea with all these people. Probably made friends with a lot of them. Probably knew some of them. Knew their families well. And watched them perish. Over 40 years of time just passed away. 40 years. That's 4 days. 40 days, I'm sorry, in God's time, according to Scripture. 1,000 years. One day. So regardless, it's not very much time according to God. God doesn't reckon time the way that you and I do. He said, our days, verse 9, are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. Now, I heard in Sunday school this morning that we ought to live a life and as an example to the world, that when others look upon us, they will see someone besides us. They will see the one that lives and dwells within us. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Every one of us preaching our lives every day, preaching our funerals as we come down to that time. Just 2 days ago, my wife got a phone call from a dear friend of hers that she's been a friend with for 60 years. She said, "My sister passed away yesterday afternoon." Seems like I've been hearing so much about death lately, and I don't want to dwell on it. I don't want to be morbid about it, but it's a reality. It's a part of life. It's a very great part of life. Unless I die, I'll not be able to go be with my Lord and Savior. And I understand that. I realize that today. But seeing that we know these things, and seeing these things are a reality, you know, I was telling my wife the other day, there are so many people that deal with life through emotions. Folks, when you deal with life through emotions, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. You're going to be up and you're going to be down. But folks, if you'll live a life with Jesus Christ, if you'll live a life of reality Emotions want to take you away from reality. They want to bring you into your little world where you feel at peace within yourselves whenever it's a false peace and it's a false hope, because we don't really get that peace and that hope without Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives. We find that in Jesus today. We sang that in our songs this morning. Let's be a little realistic today and realize that time is moving along, and many of the saints will be moving off the scene. But more important than saints moving off the scene, folks, it seems or it appears, according to the scriptures, that time is getting pretty ripe for the coming of the Lord. It seems it's getting pretty ripe for the coming of the Lord. I had someone stand up to me just a few days ago, and they was asking me the question, and I want to turn to it. They was asking me the question of what does this mean over in Luke, the 21st chapter and the 25th verse. What does this mean? Folks, before I go over there, Moses concludes in his reading here, "Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil." You know, the preacher, he said it another way. He said, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." Things that we put importance on, things that we put priority on in our life, we better be sure that every decision, every choice that we make, we have our soul in mind. We need to have our soul and mind in everything that we do. That's my priority today, is my soul, because I'm desperate to make heaven. But he said, "Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us." The work of our hands, establish thou it. Moses is asking God here, my understanding. He's asking God's work to be given to God's people. You and I have a little increment of time starting today to work for the Lord, to work for Jesus. And we can, every one of us, do this and best do this by establishing the proper priorities in our life. Let me say it this way. 100 years from now, it won't matter what my bank account was. It won't matter the kind of house that I lived in. It won't matter. Or the kind of car that I drove. But what will matter is that the world may be a little better place because I chose to love and to follow the Lord. That's how we can glorify God today. Because I chose to love and glorify the Lord. I say that a lot of times. Brother John knows it from traveling with me. 100 years from now, it won't matter. Those things that I feel like are so, those things that I'm so troubled about, 100 years from now, it won't matter. All those things go to the grave. But this soul lives on forever, doesn't it? And we need to get priorities in place. What's real important? Those things that I choose to be of utmost importance in my life that will help me make heaven my home. That will help me work for Jesus and be the vessel that the Lord wants me to be. Put them in place, folks. Before I go over to that other scripture, I want to go to another scripture first. It's found over in Colossians, third chapter of Colossians. Now I'm going to try to explain a little bit here what these priorities ought to be to help you and I be a success in living for the Lord. Whenever I draw my last breath and my work on earth is done, I have set things in place in my life that may mean, have a little meaning to those that I've left behind. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what we want? That we live a life in such a way that has a little meaning, gives others hope? You've left an example that others can look upon. Say, well, the brother died with the love of God in his heart. That's what I saw when I looked on my dear brother down in Louisiana last Sunday and Monday. He had the love of God in his heart. That was his priority. That was number one. He liked to read World War II books. He was a Marine. He had a Purple Heart. Accomplished a lot in his life. He lived a lot in the world. We live in the world. We're to enjoy the world, but we're not to let the world rule us and guide us. We're to let Jesus rule us and guide us. But every time that he would call me down through the years, it was always the Lord that he wanted to talk about. The scriptures, the church, the concern and the burden that he had for our young generation, our young people. He had a great burden for them. Brother Michael can attest that he spoke to that many times in the congregation because he had a burden and a love for souls. He loved the Lord. That ought to be our number one priority, shouldn't it? But it's easy. It's so easy for you and I to get caught up with the importance of things. Do you know, Friday night, this is just a trivial thing. Friday night, wife and I went over to our son's house to babysit for our youngest grandchild. She'll soon be 3 years old. She was the only one. They took the rest of them. They had a little track there that was all laid out on the floor, and it had this car. It was battery operated. I looked at the bottom of it. It had three little AAA batteries in it. And this thing would run this car, and then lights would flash and stuff, and it'd go wherever that track was laid out. That's where the car went. It had rails on the side of the track to guide it. It didn't try to jump the track. It didn't try to go any other direction. It went wherever the track went. Folks, let me tell you, the priorities that you set in your life is going to take you where you're going to go. It's going to be just like that car going down that track. And it's going to follow it wherever it's laid out. It's one of those kind of tracks that you could, it was very flexible, and you could make the car squirm or wiggle around and do all kinds of things. That's what the devil wants to do with people today. It's easy to get caught up with the importance of things. My little granddaughter, she's still two. She doesn't know anything about batteries. She doesn't know anything about what I know about. She would let that thing just run and run and run, or set it on the floor and just run and run around, and I'm sitting there thinking, she's going to run the batteries down. And then a thought came to me, what do I care? What do I care? I don't care if she runs the batteries down. As long as she's quiet, being good, and behaving herself, she can run them down all she wants. I ain't paying for them. But it was something that maybe kind of bugged me a little bit, bothered me a little bit. Isn't that what we do with life sometimes? We see that kind of bothers a little bit. 100 years from now, it isn't going to make any difference, folks. And we need to start programming our minds, our hearts, our thoughts, and begin to bring them into the subjection of Christ and prioritize what is really important in this life. Everything that was down and on that floor, the track, the car, and everything, it's all fuel for the burning, folks. The Lord's coming back someday. That's my priority, is to be ready. Let's look at Colossians 3rd chapter. If you then be risen with Christ, this is for us. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Where's your affections today? I realize there are many things that God has given us to enjoy life. The Brother Harold's son was speaking to me that evening after the funeral. And he said, I don't know what heaven's going to be like, Brother Larry. He said, I struggle to think that it's going to be just one long worship service. But I don't know what it's going to be like. I said, you know how I look at heaven? I said, I've been around every state in this country, and Alaska and Hawaii. I've been over in Europe. I've been to Honduras. I've been to a few places. I've seen a lot of beauty right here in our own country. God's given us a lot of beauty. He's given us the roses, the flowers. He's given us a lot of beautiful things to look at. And I said, Brother, I can't help but think that He saved the best for last. The song said, how beautiful heaven must be. I can't even imagine, neither can you, how beautiful heaven must be. But I know I want to go there. As the old brother said years ago, heaven's heaven because God is there. Don't you want to be where God is? You have that opportunity to be there forever with no more devil, no more trial, no more sorrow, no more heart, no more parting. Like we have to go through it here in this life. Don't you want to be where God is? Oh Lord, I surely do. But I realize as I'm growing older that there's things that I have to have in place. Things that are of utmost importance to me. It isn't my car. You know, I remember when wife and I first got married 48 years ago, I told her how important that guitar was that I got. That guitar was very special to me. You know, that guitar means absolutely nothing to me. We can set our affections on the wrong things, folks. Don't set them on things here, he said, on the earth, but set them on things above. So how do I do that? I need to have prioritize what I'm seeking after and what I'm setting my affections on. I want to seek a deeper knowledge and understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what He means to me. I want to seek a deeper, closer fellowship with Him. A deeper relationship with Christ. Seek it, folks. It isn't going to fall in your lap. Seek it. Seek the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the Bible says, loving that way. We need to develop godly virtues. Be a godly person. Let me tell you something, folks. We teach modesty, don't we? But we don't teach a modesty to the conformity of the world's modesty. There's a lot of moral people out there, and there's some modest people out there. But, folks, the Word of God doesn't teach that kind of modesty. Godly virtues. Holy. Says on Mount Zion, there shall be holiness. No, there shall be godliness and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. That's in Obadiah. Develop godly virtues. If we can't set our priorities in our mind, we need to write them down. Because folks, they're important to us. We're human. We forget. Why do we go to church every Sunday? Why do we have to be reminded then and here and then and everywhere else on things? Folks, some of you folks have been preached to so many years, you've heard every message 10 or 12 times. Maybe from a different perspective, but you've heard them. And maybe more. we need to seek, prioritize an effective prayer life. Folks, I said effective prayer life. Fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to establish that. Daniel did. It worked, didn't it? They threw him in the lion's den and the lions couldn't even open their mouths. Why you suppose that is? That's not their nature. God was there, wasn't he? God was on the scene. We need to seek to attain Christian maturity. Folks, I've learned that the zeal that I have for God today is a little more tempered than the zeal that I had for God several years ago. I've had to pay a price. I've had to suffer. I've had to go through some things in my life, physically, mentally, spiritually. I've had to go through some battles to attain a little more wisdom, a little more understanding, and a little more maturity in Jesus Christ because of the price that I had to pay for it. And folks, I learned that some of those that I had to pay the price for, I don't want to pay it again. So I want to get it. By the help of the Lord, I want to get it the first time. I don't want to pay it again. Some of it wasn't very pleasant, wasn't very easy. Priorities to attain spiritual or Christian maturity and to get a hold of all the spiritual benefits that God has for His people during your time here on earth. Do you think you have gotten all the benefits that God has for you? I haven't. I'm seeking for them, but I haven't gotten them all. But I tell you what, His benefits are a blessing to us. They're an encouragement to us. They will sustain us in our difficult times. There's laughter in life. I've done a lot of laughing. You have too. There's a lot of pleasure in life. But folks, I'm beginning to wonder if there isn't more sorrow today than there is laughter. When I see people, my heart aches and my heart hurts when I see people going the direction that they're going. It doesn't cause me to want to laugh. It causes me to weep in sorrow and sadness. It's just to set your affections. Don't be preoccupied with things here on earth. You're going to leave them behind someday. Every one of us, we're going to leave them behind someday. There are things, and understand what I'm saying here. There are things that are not wrong. There are things that we can do, God allows you and I to do, that are not wrong. But they can be wrong if they become priorities above Christ. They can be wrong. Christ should be our number one priority today, folks. Your life, if you're saved today, has been given to Him. It belongs to Him. It's not yours anymore. Are you okay with that? Your life belongs to Him. You're in His hands. All souls are mine, He said. He gives life and breath to every one of us. You okay with that? Lord, I've consecrated my life. I've given it to You. Whatever You want to do, Lord. Ouch! The first time something hard comes along, we begin to question that. We begin to struggle with that. He's my number one priority, folks. We have a song that says, whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. I want to be the Lord's, folks, whether I live or die. And let's put someone real important in right here. Jesus. What was His priority? Did He come down from heaven and then decide what it is I'm going to do when I get down here? He came here with a purpose. His purpose was to seek and to save those that are lost. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he stuck to his number one priority? That was his number one priority. Oh, he went about doing good. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He did all kinds of wonderful things. He brought us the truth of the gospel. But his number one priority was to seek and to save those that are lost. I don't know what you think of this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I believe it. Ain't no minister worth his salt if that ain't his number one priority, to do the Lord's work that souls would be saved. That's the most important thing, folks. Because the greatest tragedy I know is someone leaving this world unprepared to meet God. That's a tragedy. Lord, help us, every one of us, to do our part to see that doesn't happen. Especially to those that we love, those that are dear, those that are important to us. Folks, we ought to have priorities in place that our life is such an open book to those that are around us, that when they look upon us, they see Jesus. They feel His presence. Do you know we can have His presence with us all the time? And we can live in such a way, live in the presence of Christ, that we can have His presence upon us, with us. That when others are around us, they feel it, something different. They feel the presence of God. Folks, we live in an ungodly world today. Very ungodly world. People, they really don't want to hear anything about Jesus. But He's my all in all today. He's the one I've given my life to. Let's turn over to that scripture now. To Luke, the 21st chapter. Probably be my last one. Luke, the 21st chapter. 25th verse. Yeah, I had someone just recently stand and ask me the question. He says, what does that scripture mean? There'll be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. He said, I know what I'm saying. And he whipped out his cell phone. He says, it's right here. I just read it. It's right here on my phone. I says, I know it is. I know what the scripture says. Matter of fact, I told him, I said, I have that scripture on my heart. Prepared to use Sunday if the Lord uses it. But what disturbs me, yes, it's talking about our day. It's talking about our time with perplexity. Distress of nations, seeing the waves roaring. We're seeing it all, folks. We're seeing it all today. We got this little nation over there on the other side of the Atlantic, or I think it's the Atlantic and Pacific. Who's threatening everybody. And we got people that's really talking about possible atomic war. It's a very precarious place that we live in today. But that wasn't what disturbed me when they asked me that question. What disturbed me is, why didn't he go down and read where he said, watch ye therefore. Why didn't he go down and realize that if that's disturbing you and that's troubling you, why don't you turn your heart to God? Why don't you quit chasing your fantasies and your dreams and those things that are falling apart in your life? Why don't you get yourself ready? They said, I know that it's happening. We can all see that it's happening. Yes, we can. These are Jesus' words. Said it was going to be that way. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Folks, I believe this today. There is a place that you and I can get in God that you and I can be established and rooted and grounded, that we don't have to fear what comes our way. We don't have to fear what tomorrow holds. If we're ready to meet God, if you're ready, we don't have to fear those things. Then he said, shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory? And when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Praise God. Folks, one of these days, and it won't be long for everyone, all these hard times, as the song says, all these trials soon be over. The Lord's going to come back and he's going to redeem. He's going to take his children, his church, his bride back to heaven, back to glory. Oh, don't you want to be in that number? Yes, we do, don't we? And he said in verse 31, so likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is not at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. You say, Brother Larry, what's this got to do with priorities? Folks, our priorities must be in place for this time. What's really important? Well, that's not so much important. Well, my car broke down yesterday. Is that really important? Yeah, we got to get it fixed and we got to get going. But be careful that you don't let those things rule you. Be careful that you don't let those things get you to the place where you're all discouraged and down in the mouth. Set your affections on things above. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Folks, life, my children, and probably some of your children said, that's not fair. Life's different for every one of us. I've seen people have to go through much harder things than I've ever had to go through. I've also seen myself go through some things that were harder than others had to go through. God knows what I need to get me to heaven. He knows what we need, folks. And he is faithful and just to send your way just what you need to help you get your focus back on track. If you get off track a little bit, God knows how to get you back on track if you let him. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time. Let us take heed this afternoon. You know, this is for all of us. Get our priorities in order. Take heed to yourselves. Are you satisfied with the direction you're going today? Are you satisfied with the path that you're on? Do you have things in place that's going to help guide you and keep you saved in these times? With perplexities, men's hearts failing them with fear. Do you have it in place, folks? Satisfied? Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. What's surfeiting? It's excess, isn't it? We get so much of the world, so full of the world, so full of life, that we forget what we're really here for. What are we really here for? He created us, as Scripture tells us, to glorify him. That's what we're really here for. Take heed, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Saints, that's where the devil will try to get us. To get so caught up with the cares of life, get us so busy. It's like my brother said, I told the Lord, if he let me retire, I'd get saved, and I didn't do it. Told the Lord, if he'd get my son out of prison, I'd get saved, and I didn't do it. And then he said, I lost my kidneys. And then he wanted to do it so bad, he said he could taste it, get saved. And he said, Larry, I just was so busy. Are you busy? Are we busy? He said, I realized I was busy doing nothing. He didn't have his priorities in place. He didn't keep his promises for one thing. And God took his kidneys. But he turned his heart to God before he left this world. That's mercy, isn't it? That's mercy. Don't get caught up with the cares of this life. Folks, the cares of this life will drain you. They'll drain you. They'll take your courage. They'll take your strength. They'll take you down. Lord, help us as God's people not to find ourselves indulging excessively in appetites. Appetites of all kinds. Folks, we must realize we are not above or beyond the temptation to fall into sin. Not above it. Whoever we are today, the devil is working on every one of us. We are not beyond the temptation to fall into sin. So I want to warn you to watch slackness in your life. Slackness in your relationship with the Lord. Slackness in your prayer life. How determined are we? How bad do we want to go? People do things they really want to do. We say, well, I don't have the time, I have the money, but you got these guys out there, what is this? This is Sunday. They got the money and they got the time to go to the ball games. And they're out there in the droves, they're sitting there watching some guys kick a pigskin around, trying to score a touchdown. That's their priority. You believe it ain't their priority? You go out there and you meet with them in public, and when they gather together, you know what they talk about? Boy, wasn't that a game yesterday? Did you see what's on? Oh, you see that pass he threw? Do you see how far he kicked the ball? Do you see that touchdown? Boy, that was fantastic, wasn't it? Can't let our minds go there, folks. We can't let these kind of things control us. If they control us, they'll destroy us. They'll destroy us. They surely will. Watch slackness and keep a daily readiness in your life. Daily ready to do what God wants you to do, to be faithful to your post of duty. He said in verse 36, well, let's read 35. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole world. That tells us something, doesn't it? As a trap. Folks, the devil has traps set for every one of us. And it doesn't say T-R-A-P on it either. Lord, help us to have our spiritual eyes open and our priorities in place in such a way that when the devil sets that trap, that we'll stay out of that trap. No matter what kind of food's in it. No matter what kind of temptation is in it, stay out of the traps. As a snare shall it come on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Lot is said here about prayer. I want to say one more thing about prayer. It does change things. Prayer is the better part of valor. When persevering under pressure. And the more the time, the Lord allows time to go on, God's people are going to be persevering under pressure. The pressure is like a vice, just being squeezed a little more every day. All the society out there that's got all these horrible ideas, living these horrible lifestyles, just cranking it a little bit tighter every day. Prayer is the better part of valor when persevering under pressure. Don't you feel it? I feel the pressure, folks. And you know what I'm allowing the pressure to do? Draw me, drive me closer to the Lord. just get closer and closer. See how close I can get to the Lord. Prayer alone will enable you to stand before Christ when everyone around is falling under the trials of the hour. I believe that. Prayer. It's my connection with God. I have this opportunity to lift up my spirit, my soul, into the presence of God, coming boldly to the throne of grace. It'll enable you and I to stand in these last and difficult days that we're living in. Lord, help us today to get some things in place if we don't have them there. If we're one of those kind of people that just lets the devil whip us about any old way that he wants, we need something better than that. We need more grace than that to stand in these days. All right, I want to close with a song.